Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we do take a close look at one of her appearances somewhere around the world, somewhere in the last 2,000 years, and she's been doing it a lot. She's been appearing more than 2,000 times in the last 2,000 years. That's right, close to 2,700 times in the last 2,000 years. So something's going on there, folks. We didn't ask for that. We didn't expect it to happen, and yet it keeps happening all over the world, in different cultures, in different religions in different countries, in different periods of time, during war, during peace, during potato famines, during plagues, she will appear and has inspired millions of people around the world. Millions. When she appeared to Juan Diego in Guadalupe, 9 million Indians converted to Catholicism soon after that. 9 million. So big impact. When she appeared in Zeytun, Egypt over a four-year period from 1968 to 1971, she inspired an estimated 40 million people who saw her with their own eyes. That's right. 40 million saw her in those 4 years with their own eyes. And even recently over Nigeria, just in late June, she appeared in the sky, and over 100 people, including some disbelievers and people of other faiths, saw her just late June, you know, just 2 months ago. So things are happening. Still happening, and it's very real. It's not imagined. It's not hallucinations. It's real. So we try to make sense out of it on this show and see what heaven's trying to tell us and how she appears and what messages she gives us. And overall, she wants us to get back to church, stay on the right spiritual path, go to the sacraments, confession, Mass, the Eucharist, you know, fasting, all these things that are important to our faith, not to take it lightly, not to forget about it, but to stay active, proactive, not lukewarm, active, out there evangelizing, bringing people. Look how many people are off the path today. Look how many people are lost. Look how many people don't know which end is up. Look how many people are following Satan's wishes. Look how many people are going astray and not even caring about it because they think it's okay. That's what the devil wants us to believe. All right, so I'll get off my soapbox now. But this show looks at all these factors and all these things, and we just try to bring you the best evidence and let you make up your own mind about it all. Tonight we return to Barberton, Ohio again, and we're into a lot of messages now. Just a brief recap before we talk to our team. This very unwilling, unexpected, and unlikely visionary, Tony Fernwalt, he had a checkered history and was not at all religious and just thought when he saw her that she was some creepy lady to go to a mental institution until she started recounting all his sins and knowing all about his life, and then he was blown away and suddenly transfixed by her presence as she stood on a little cloud floating slightly off the floor in this Indian-looking garb with veils and everything, and he just didn't know what to make of it. Why was she there in front of him? But she said she was going to turn him from a Saul into a Paul, and so through all this process over the last several weeks, we've talked about healings that have taken place, a weeping portrait of Mary, objects like rosaries and crucifixes turning gold, the sun spinning in the sky, even a couple of supernatural photographs, Polaroid developing with Mary's image in it, very unexpectedly and yet exciting. So all sorts of things, and now we're into the message part of it. But before we get into those, we'll check in with our team here, starting with my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, founder of Deeper Truth.
Hey, good evening there, John. And I tell you, just listening to your monologue, and I can't help but think, the Catholic Church dedicates the month of August to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Since the 16th century, Catholic piety has assigned entire months to special devotions. And so, like I was just saying, the month of August is traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, like June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for example. And so it's in there. The Immaculate Heart of Mary commemorates the joys and sorrows of the Mother of God, her virtues and perfections, her love for God and her divine Son, and her compassionate love for mankind. And this is really interesting because of this. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a symbol of Christ's immense love for humanity, with a wound in its side and a crown of thorns representing the damage of our sins. And this is what the Immaculate Heart of Mary gives us, an example of how we as Christians should love. As Pope Paul VI said, "May the Immaculate Heart of Mary shine before the eyes of all Christians as the model of perfect love toward God and toward our fellow beings. May it lead them toward the holy sacraments by virtue of which souls are cleansed from the stains of sin and are preserved from it. It also stimulate them to make a reparation for the innumerable offenses against the divine majesty. Lastly, may it shine like a banner of unity and a spur to perfect the bonds of brotherhood among all Christians in the bosom of the one Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church, which, taught by the Holy Spirit, honors her with filial affection and piety as a most beloved mother." Man, just looking at this, I can't help this, but to go through just a little of this about the praying or the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. One, salvation of our own soul. 12, those who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months fulfill all the conditions requested, I promise to assist them at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their soul. This little devotion practiced with a good heart is then enough to procure infallibly for us, as with the sacraments, the grace of final perseverance of eternal salvation. And this promise is without any exclusion, limitation, restriction to all who I promise heaven for eternity for 5 holy communions. Salvation of sinners, so numerous are the souls which the justice of God condemns for sins committed against me, that I come to ask for reparation. Sacrifice yourselves for this intention and pray. That's what Our Lady had said to Sister Lucy at Thai, Spain on June 13, 1929. And then peace in the world, this one really gets to me. Whether the world has war or peace depends on the practice of this devotion, along with the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is why I desire its propagation so ardently, especially because this is also the will of our dear Mother in Heaven. Sister Lucy, March 19, 1939. And Our Lord and Our Lady appeared to St. Lucy, and Our Lord said, "Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns, which ungrateful men place therein at every moment, while there is no one who does an act of reparation to withdraw them for her." And then Our Lady then addresses Lucia as follows, "Behold, my daughter, my heart encircled with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Give me consolation, you at least, and make known on my behalf that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all who on the first Saturday of 5 consecutive months confess their sins, receive Holy Communion, recite 5 decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, with the purpose of making reparation to my Immaculate Heart." And I just can't help but share this in the memorial. "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen." And so that says a lot right all there. And so, John, we have Joseph from the great state of Colorado. How you doing there, Joseph?
Oh, I'm plugging along. How are you guys? Ed?
How you doing there? Yeah, John.
You hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hanging in there, guys. You know, it's been a little tough, but all the activities, all the haters have picked up a little bit and keeping me on my toes. And talking about Catholics who don't have the greatest faith. You know, I've also been 2 weeks in a row, I've been cursed in church. And, it's just pretty hard to take. I understand people are lost and confused, but when someone goes up to communion and walks past me and says "F you" to me, it's pretty hard to take.
That's amazing in church.
Yeah, and to make it clear to listeners, it's because of the sign on my walker. You know, trust God and abortion. And I get it. They're guilty, obviously, clearly, and hopefully that moment makes them think and they go to confession, and truly repent.
I have a demon attached. They do.
Yeah. That's it.
We're definitely under it.
I obviously I'm not stopping, and I think about it because things are very, very tough and physical, financial, spiritual. It's tough, but I'm at 11:04. And
way to go.
You can't put a price on that.
1,104 babies saved. That is so awesome. Just amazing. Amazing.
Very,
that is.
Very, 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 very blessed.
They should all live together in a city named after you. Since you populated that city.
Oh, boy. I thank God, in one sense, I thank him for putting it in my heart and basically commanding me to do it. And then there's moments I get, real frustrated with that because it's just not falling, And it's, again, it costs me a lot. My success comes with me doing the way I do it and giving out my number and them calling me, taking them out to eat, to talk, and if there's a need, helping them the best I can and getting a girl to leave her abusive husband, getting a girl to leave, it's really an amazing calling.
It is. I so wish we could find someone to follow you around like a journalist and document all this and make it a docudrama or a book or something or movie, because it's just amazing stuff that you're doing. And you have such heart and dedication and commitment and risk your life in every which way to save lives.
Right. Well, the problem with that is, the people probably wouldn't want to talk with somebody filming, so that would be a problem. But a couple times that I brought people with me to meetings, people got mad at me. I thought you were coming by yourself. And, I thought, the one was, half Hispanic. I thought a Spanish person would be good, and the other one, I thought a woman would be good, and so no, I stopped even asking anybody to come with me, strictly by myself. But
well,
I understand that. It's personal.
Yeah.
They're afraid. They don't want, and they're embarrassed. They don't want anybody else knowing. And but because they met me on the street, And there's my number on the literature they took, they accept that part, and And I'm not judgmental. I'm not judgmental. I don't care what your real name is. I don't care about anything. I just want to get that baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, Donald, who else we got here tonight?
All right. We got Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. I've gotten new temporary quarters, but that's a long story. Joseph, I was curious. I have a newsman's curiosity. Has the vote in Kansas on the pro-life issue, has that affected your ministry in any way? And if so, how?
Yeah, there's all the states that are, stopping abortion, they're coming here. They're coming to Colorado, Texas cars, Kansas cars. There was another state too. What other state
Illinois.
Has Illinois? Yeah,
Illinois.
And it's amazing they're driving that far. They are sickly, demonically committed to killing that baby. It's just unreal, to think someone drives, 15, 20 hours, whatever the heck it is, to go kill their baby. And of course, it's very hard to win that car over. I've done okay on Texas cars. I haven't gotten any other state yet, but yeah, I've gotten plenty of Texas people. Thank God.
That's
all
interesting.
Right.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting in the fact that there is no love lost as far as that baby is concerned. That baby may be God's gift to the world for an answer to prayer that people have been praying for years. Well, who cares?
Satan, obviously Satan misleads everybody to some degree, things that cause us to sin, period. What he must be doing to them is just so sad. So again, the demonic forces of what these people believe, how they believe the abortion industry. And to watch commercials. Have you guys seen commercials on TV? How they're praising abortion. It's just unbelievable. I mean, they have them here because they're really fighting here. But to think that they're trying to win people over to go ahead and kill their babies to make your life better, if that's what's good for you, get rid of your baby.
One of the reports that I heard was that the pro-aborts were claiming that neighboring states would be restricted in providing life-saving care to the mother, which is an out and out lie.
Right. Yeah, no, they're allowing it. You got corporations, you got businesses. If these women, these girls work for certain companies, that they're gonna help pay their way to go to other states. And here, they're not supposed to share that information, is what they're saying. They won't tell anybody that they came here. If it was real medical stuff, privacy. This is not medical care in any way, shape, or form. How they say it is, it's just ridiculous.
All right.
And,
well,
John, We got Doc from, I'm trying to get Doc in, Doc from Tennessee. Doc, what do you think about all this that we're hearing here?
Oh, I got a whole bunch. First with the opening monologue, they need to step up. I mean, this all comes from generations, and this goes to the whole thing. What you guys got to understand is, in a lot of these states where pro-abortion, where it is that they can just, you can do it, you have 3 to 4 generations of guys that were raised by their mother who used birth control as, or used abortion as birth control. It's a mindset. To them, it's not life until it's born. In a lot of their minds, it's not life even after it's born. You can you can terminate post birth. You know this spiritual war that we're under, and the attack that we are under, and the demons, they don't even cloak and dagger anymore. They're just out there. And men, until the men of the church, excuse the crudity of what I'm about to say, but until we grow a pair, it's going to continue. The men need to step up. We need to be men. Righteous masculinity. If it looks wrong, if it doesn't pass the smell test, say something. You don't have to take everything they say from their bully pulpit at face value. Do your homework. Be the men. See, I was thinking about something earlier today. Our forefathers were men of reason. When they saw injustice and depravity and satanic whatever, they said something, and then they did something. And we've been raised, we've been neutered, we've been cold, you know, because we don't want to make waves. Oh, no, good boys don't do that. Well, guess what men do? That's part of being a man. And I got another thing I want to throw out there before I go. You know that whole phrase about pick up that cross and care and follow me? That cross ain't supposed to be light. It's supposed to beat you down, drag you through. It is supposed to decimate you. So until you realize the only way you can carry it is with the help of God. And until we do that, until we take it to that point, it's all just rhetoric. Men need to step
Good
up.
Point.
The men need to find that and take it back. It's beautiful and it's righteous, and I'm seeing it more and more. I'm glad it's catching on. Joseph, what you're doing is a prime example of that. And you should be praised and emulated, and you're right. We do need to figure out a way to, you know, document this so other people will see this and realize that there is a way forward that's not what they're showing us. Because it is.
Yeah.
The war is all around us. The demons are here. And we need to fight back.
Amen.
God has called us all to do something. The only problem is most aren't in tune with that, and they need to. They need to get on their knees and ask, you know, if they've ever had that inclination, you know, ask God, what do you want from me? You know, what is my calling? It's amazing. I talk to a lot of people about that, and most don't know what their calling is. And we all have it. We all are supposed to do something. We're supposed to bring others to the church. Bring, you know, help others, feed the homeless, do something, and people aren't doing enough, and you know, and it's hard, and even what I do, you know, there's times I don't think it's enough, and I've put everything I got into it, and you know, my body and mind can't take much more sometimes, you know. Also, you know, I've been physically assaulted, you know, 4 times last week. Twice the week before, so you know that's escalating. I was set up, and 2 guys got me pretty good, and but you know, I keep on going. You know, I'm not a weakling, thank God.
Speaking of which, I encourage right now. We got along with deeper truth and what we're about, along with us, there's another, some good, solid Catholics that are forming what is called Grace Force. And their podcasts are coming out. Grace Force. I love it. Just like President Trump came out with Space Force. Well, this is Grace Force. I love it. Grace Force. So
that's good.
What better combination? Deeper truth and Grace Force. Because that's what we're all about. It really is. And we got Kathy from Bourbon, Missouri. How you doing there, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, Joseph. Hi, John, everybody.
Hello.
I'm doing good.
Great.
Hello, Kathy.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, guys, we are returning to Barberton, Ohio, where we have some fascinating messages coming your way. This is around the early 90s, so really exactly 30 years ago. This one was July 21st, 1992. Mary is speaking to the visionary, Tony Fernwalt, and he's got thousands of people, even coming from other countries, coming to hear these messages. And here's what she says. Dear children, I want all of you to realize the true life is through my son, Jesus. When you need my son in your deepest hours, you cry out to him. But yet, when things are okay for all of you, you forget to cry out for him. Why? Where does your weakness begin and end in your faith? You should have no weakness, just true faith. My son showed God the Father the faith he wants you to have. Have you really prayed from your soul and heart today? Pray as though you need my son Jesus all the time, because you really do. Try not to look upon yourselves and think you only need my son only when you need help. Search again as you should look all day for my son within yourself. Your life should intertwine with Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. Go to Mass, confession, communion, do penance and good deeds. Pray that God the Father and God the Son come swiftly and justly. Pray that when you see my son, Jesus, you will be able to say to him, I am glad you have come, for many will hide in their darkness. Many will be like the tree that bears no fruit. But remember, the candle that is lit and shines there most is in your soul. For when it is dark, that will be the brightest light. And there will come a time when only your light will protect you, for it will be the candle within you. So search out the kingdom of God through my son, Christ Jesus. For all of you should stand up with glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For soon you will not have to worry about the immoral ones. Many of you say, what date will that be? But as I have said before, no dates shall be given. For if you know a date, then you would only live for that date. Then upon that date, you would fall upon your knees and pray. And please, when you do pray, stop asking for petty things. You should ask my son that my son would guide you. That's all you need in your life. Jesus is all you need to be prepared. So I close by saying, be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. Pray, pray, pray. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Well, that really fits with our scripture today about being prepared. Yeah, that's interesting. Any comments?
Charge.
Huh?
Mm. I made a comment. I don't know if it was on this show or the other one, but I don't think heaven's going to be very crowded. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of angels there, but judging by what men are doing, I mean, this, her message, right, is saying just that. You're being tested. Yeah, you remember, y'all remember those tests that you had to take in school, the time test, where you had the clock sounded like a bass drum, and you're trying to answer these multiple choice questions. That's your life right now. That this is it. This is that test. And one day, and you're never going to see it coming, you're going to hear pencils down. And it's going to be that it. And there's no do-over. There's no retest.
Yeah.
We need to wake up, man. I mean, Mary's pointing that out.
Yeah. Life is the audition for eternity.
Right. John, how many people witnessed this vision?
Tony was the only one that heard from her and saw her directly, but her presence was clearly felt by hundreds, thousands of supernatural things like the spinning sun and objects turning gold and healings and weeping portraits and photographs that would magically appear with her image. So everyone got to see a lot of supernatural stuff.
So did this get spread around whatsoever? I mean, did anybody ever hear about this who didn't live in Ohio? You know, why hasn't the church embraced these things?
Well, it hasn't rejected it. I mean,
right.
And people were coming from other countries to hear him. I mean, word did get out. But it's always a narrow network. It's always just like we have a link to Medjugorje through emails and website, but the general public isn't connected to that, you know. And so it's just you got to be interested in it to pay attention. And if you are, you might show up and hear these things that go on. And he had trouble because he had to move around a bunch of times to different cities and different locations because other churches didn't want to take him in. They weren't sure about all this. And, you know, that's not too unusual.
Right.
So they had hundreds and hundreds and thousands of followers. And he never claimed anything personally. I mean, he just passed on the messages and did what many visionaries do. So
these would be what is called private revelation. And the church does investigate these things. And sometimes, as we have shown, it takes about 50-something years as an average for the church to approve some of these.
An average,
unless it's just an average. So it takes time.
They say it's only been 30 years. It's only been 30 years, so it's not even up to the average length of time for approval. Yeah, which is true with a lot of these recent ones. They just are waiting to see kind of what happens. But it doesn't stop us from being able to talk about it. Now, if they find something they don't like about it or reject it, they'll say that right here and now if they don't like something or they suspect some kind of coniness about it. They won't hesitate to say that, but they haven't said that with us. So we're in the wait-and-see phase. Here's another message from December 14th, 92. Mary says, Anthony, therefore, when you see the flow from the place I have told you, you'll know that it will be right. I'm not sure what that means. But the day the lady slipped and almost fell, it was her faith that brought her to the spring. Even though she was weak, she will be strong. So from that day forward, the power of the water has been there. That's right, they have a healing spring of water. Not the power of muscle, but the power of faith. Now let my spring flow as all the faith will flow towards my son Jesus as it will flow toward God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So prepare for when they flock to the spring. All of you must help for tomorrow. The children will know. They will have their signs in the water. They will have their signs in the spring. They will have their God in their hearts once again. Proclaim so that when you are not here, people will still have faith, still see the flow, and see the kingdom of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here's another one from November 14th. She says, my dear children, blessed are the ones that do not see and believe. Right out of the Bible there. The rewards will be great in the kingdom of God. How would you feel if your sight was taken from you? Would you believe that someone would help you around? Would you believe that someone would guide you so that if you fall, they would help you up?
That happened to St. Paul. St. Paul.
Yeah.
He went to go after Christians and on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded for 3 days, and he was led by his compadre, those who were with him, to that Damascus, and he was led there blind. And he was, when he was baptized, the scales came off of his eyes. That's pretty powerful stuff. So what
and
you're
she
saying,
says,
and what are they? Yeah, go
and
ahead.
She says, the next sentence she says is, seek the true meaning of blind faith. I love that. Mm-hmm. Seek the true meaning of blind faith. Ask my son Jesus to help you and to guide you throughout each day. For one day, you may be able to say, I have blind faith. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. I like that. What do you think of that, Kathy?
I think I'm going to get someplace quiet. I think blind faith, you can say that you'll have it and you can be really full of God and trust him and everything, but then when the big thing happens, then that's the real test, like Doc was saying. Because something happened to us recently and it scared the bejesus out of us for a minute. And we knew that we hadn't done anything wrong, and then it wasn't our fault, but there was an investigation, and it had dire consequences if fault was found, and we had to go to the investigation, and we were completely cleared, but I almost had a heart attack being at the place and having to go through that, so... But I trusted
hard.
God, but I wondered what he might require of me, you know, that day.
Well, you did all that was expected of you, I'm sure, and that blind faith pulled you through.
I guess even though your emotions are way off the handle, it's the choice to trust God is still a conscious choice, and your emotions might go crazy, but that's not a sin because
God is your rock.
God.
Yeah, you're grounded in God. Your God is your foundation, your rock. You're grounded in God. So your emotions can go all over the place, but as long as you have that firm foundation, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
so I'll just tell
you
guys what happened because it sounds so mysterious, I know. So we run a heating and cooling company, and a house in town blew up. And we had put the heating and cooling in there. And it was summertime, so, and it was 4 years ago. There was an investigation. We had to file a claim with our liability company, which we had never even had a claim before in 20 years. And we had to go to the investigation. And they were there to represent us, our company. And it was found that a tenant had actually opened the gas pipe and didn't know he opened it. And unfortunately, it blew them all up. It was awful.
Wow.
But it wasn't our fault. And it just seems selfish to even be worried about ourselves when there was like 4 people killed. But you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, praise God, you're okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were cleared. The gas company had actually done a leak sack test on it a year after we'd even installed it, so we were cleared right off the bat.
That's good.
Well, you know, God will test us, you know. You know, with my assaults, with my arrests, and I keep on doing it, you know. And I don't even think about it, but that there is a faith there, you know, that I don't even really, you know, turn to it, but I just have it, you know, that I keep on going. And yeah, there are moments where, you know, I really get on my knees and pray, and even, you know, at a Planned Murderhood. And, you know, that's why I get there early in the morning by myself, and people don't like that I do that. But I get there and I claim that area and I pray and pray and pray, because I know, you know, that I'm in the house of evil over there, and you know, Satan's playground, and anything can occur, and so, you know, I know I have a special faith that I don't even maybe not even tap into, that I just do it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, here's a message from November 21st, 1992. Yeah?
Just looking at this Grace Force, Father Richard Hilleman. He's got a guest speaker, Father James Altman. He's going to be speaking on masculine strength is enticing. Let's face it, we are living in the participation trophy era. For most of our culture, children are being raised by spineless fathers who, although there are no father figure present at all, in this era, many grow up with narcissistic tendencies and will throw whatever temper tantrum necessary to get their way. Because no strong authority is present to lead them onto strength or character, they learn temper tantrums, work. And I think that's a big message that Our Lady is talking about too, in a lot of what she says. And so I thought that would be that was interesting. And I know that hey, Doc from Tennessee, what do you think about what Father Altman is saying there?
I want to get on that show. I think me and him could actually maybe get some ground on this, because he sounds like He's got that righteous masculinity, you know. But I got something I want to say about blind faith. Five words: I can wiggle my toes. I there was nothing there, and I was flipped on my side. You know, you either got to take that on faith or defy physics. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but there's a realm beyond what we know. We've been told about it our whole lives. A lot of us, it was stories to put the kids to bed or to scare them into being good or whatever, and then it got morphed by tradition, and it turned into what we have now. And, you know, like you just said, that father pointed out, you know, we have generations of men that are victims of the feminine movement. The feminine movement did a lot of good, yes, but it removed the father from the home. That was the byproduct of it. That's what it'll be remembered for. And because of that, we have 3-4 generations of men, of males, that don't even know what being a man is. You know, so they go through the motions. You put food on the table, you keep the lights on and everything like that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the job requirements of being a man. That isn't being manly. That isn't being a man. That's just filling the shoes. There's so much more, and the men need to recatechize. We need to know what we're supposed to know that we were never taught. And it takes work. It's not going to be easy. We got a lot of ground to cover and a long way to go. So I'm glad to see that there's actual priests stepping up. And but you know, Bolton Sheen said it best: the priest ain't going to save the church; the laity is. I heard a recent, and I'll get off real quick. I heard a recent definition for the word meat. Do you know what meat stands for, what it means? The actual Greek when it was written, the meat shall inherit the earth. That's the men standing ready with their swords in their sheath. It ain't a bunch of timid little lambs. It was the men. The men are going to inherit the earth. We're going to rise up and we're going to take it back because that's what it was meant. That's what we're meant to do. And we were duped. We fell back, and now we got to catch up. So there
you go. This was, Doc, I will tell you, like, there's a Dr. Dan Schneider who is going to be part of this a spiritual D-Day. That's what he's calling it, a spiritual D-Day. We are entering into a decisive battle, a spiritual D-Day. So Dr. Dan Schneider is an adjunct professor of theology at Franciscan University at Steubenville. He is a former amateur boxer, U.S. Army helicopter pilot, and Gulf War veteran who teaches with both humor and practical experience. He has a Ph.D. in biblical studies from Liverpool, Hope University, England. Dan has also worked for many years in the Catholic Apostolate of Deliverance and Exorcism. Oh wow! There's a lot of good things here. Go for it, Kathy.
Yeah, I'm a member of the U.S. Grace Force, and I know who Father Richard Heilman and Father Altman is. Father Altman is cancer. They took his parish, and I know who Dan Schneider is because they put out a YouTube video just about every week, and Dan Schneider works with Father Ripperger.
Yeah, Father Altman is very well known.
Father Altman is a joy to listen to because he is righteously angry about what is going on, and he will say it, and he is not afraid, and he loves his people. They are his family.
Can somebody send me a link to these people?
I don't know how to get a hold of you, Doc.
Donald does. He can get a hold of me. He's got my email and stuff.
Now, Donald, if you would send me his email, I'll send you a link.
I'll try, because every time I try to send you something, it doesn't go to you. It goes to your wife, and you don't ever get
it. Right, and then I get it. I got the other ones. I can't read right now because I'm getting spinal headaches. But I did get the emails. I got into them because she's forwarding them to me now.
Well, here's something I think is important. The United States Grace Force, God strong, guys, God strong. The importance for Christians to hold the line that we are born for spiritual combat comes from the Vicar of Christ, Pope Leo XIII, 1810 to 1903. This is what he said: to recoil before an enemy or to keep silence when from all sides such clamors are raised against truth is the part of a man either devoid of character or who entertains doubt as truth of what he professes to believe. The only ones who win when Christianity stays quiet are the enemies of truth. The silence of Catholics is particularly disturbing because frequently a few bold words would have vanquished the false ideas. And Pope Leo XIII is very clear the importance of giving witness to the truth. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That truth is not subject to the human will, but is the height of the human will that it reaches towards. And this is important, guys. Pope Leo XIII, or Pope Pius X, he asked some of his cardinals at Vatican City, he says, what is the main need of the church today? And he got different ideas. He said, well, some people say build more churches. Some people say make it faster for priests to become priests. But he said the greatest need of the church today is for Catholic laymen in every parish to be apostolic, to be strong in their faith. That's what he is saying, and I think he's true about that. That is very true.
Now, Don, send me a link to that, too.
Okay. Well, that's coming from me. That's coming from me there.
Yeah, so, but when you read what he said, I had to slow my heart down. That really, I mean, that nailed it. We need more priests to speak like that today. Where are the shepherds?
Oh, yes.
You know, we need more of that today from the pulpit.
Well, here on Deeper Truth and Grace Force. Grace Force.
Grace Force.
Yes, Grace Force. If you Google Grace Force, it'll come up
Grace.
For you.
Like grace, like saying grace?
G-R-A-C-E. Force, F-O-R-C-E.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, it's the U.S. Grace Force.
U.S. Grace Force.
They're on Rumble. Let me check it out, what it's called on YouTube.
Yeah, you can find Father Altman on Facebook. I know that.
Yeah, you can find YouTube videos on him real easy.
So, U.S.GraceForce on YouTube.
I will look into that.
Yeah, he's a great speaker. I've heard him. He says it like Catherine said. He speaks up and he says what we all have wanted to say, but he's out there saying it. And he doesn't lose his holiness.
U.S. Grace Force all pushed together on Rumble.
Yeah, and we're getting handfuls of priests like that. You know, do we need more? We need way more. You know, and we do need laymen to step up and call priests to be accountable to do something.
Amen to that. You took the words right out of my mouth. Amen to that.
I agree. Hey, guys, I want to get two more messages in before we run out of time here.
Okay.
This is interesting. On November 21st, 1992, Mary says to the visionary, "My dear children, when you look deep inside yourself, what do you really see? Do you see yourself as a human being, or do you see yourself as a creation of God? When you look inside yourself, do you see a person with free will, or do you see a person trying to do God's will?" Well, that's a good line. "Do you know and understand God's will? Do you know and understand my son Jesus's will? Do you understand God's love? Do you understand my son's love? Thank you for listening, and God bless you." I like that one line where she says, "Do you see a person, when you look at yourself, do you see a person with free will, or do you see a person trying to do God's will?" That's really cool. I like that. I like that.
I thought you was asking, when we see ourselves, do we see a person doing God's will or free will?
Right.
That's what I heard.
When you look inside yourself, what do you see? Yeah.
I like to think I see both. But then again, who wouldn't? You know, I mean, that should be the goal.
Every time I forget the second part.
You know, every time I hear Mary say, "Thank you for listening, and God bless you," and I wonder if she isn't auditioning for a spot on Deeper Truth.
Well, she's already here. Here's one more I want to get in tonight. On May 15th, 1992, she says, "Dear children, if a child comes to heaven, why do you still feel sorrowful? Praise God, because that child is in heaven. Feel no sorrow, because all children are safe there. Now, have you opened your eyes? I guess not. Why do you feel sorrow at times? Remember, you are human. You need to be spiritual. You need to pray for stronger faith. You need to really believe. Poor souls, you are so weak. Don't you understand that God is love? Seek nothing but God, unquote. It's pretty cool. All right.
Well, you know, spending confusion, that's, you know, people discuss that with me all the time. You know, what do you think the baby, what do you think happens to the babies? And because of my vision, did I come to believe that they go to heaven? But, you know, we've also been told if you're not baptized, you know, you're not going to go. And so that has led people to not think that they're going. And, I certainly say otherwise that they are going. And thank God that, you know, Jesus showed me that, and which led me to do what I do, as much as I do it. So, with that line, when people ask me, hey, how can I pray for you? Most of the time my answer is that I do God's will. Yeah, because that's just,
I like that.
That cuts through everything else, you know? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Very good. Well,
I debated an individual on this very question, where do these babies go? And this one individual was coming from a Calvinist perspective that they go to hell. And debated him, and I opposed him on that, and I cited several biblical reasons and, you know, Catholic reasons. And after that debate, he came up to me and told me that he was now becoming Catholic as a result of that debate. So every now and then, it is good for us to take a stance for the truth.
All of my research on heaven, and Kathy, you know this because I know you've read my book, but all the research on heaven shows that all the babies go to heaven, miscarried babies, aborted babies. They all go to heaven and are fixed and taken care of and are very happy there, and they forgive their parents for what they did, and they're very happy. Like Mary said, hey, why are you worried about it? They're in heaven. They're fine. They're happy here. And that's exactly what all the research showed, too. So on that note, we're going to have more messages next week. These are very interesting messages, and a lot of them still yet to come, but we'll continue with them next week. And thank you all for all your conversation tonight. A lot of interesting topics and good points. And I firmly agree and believe in standing up. And that's, of course, what we do right here. What I've done with my books and lectures and getting out there. In fact, I was just telling someone, since this is the 3-year revival of the Eucharist, I have a mission that I'm going to propose to our bishop, that I present my real science of the real presence talk on the Eucharist to every church in the diocese in the next 3 years. That's my goal. You heard it here first. We'll see if it happens. But why not?
Love to have you.
Fired up. Huh?
Love to have you.
Yeah, let's do this. So take the bull by the horns and let's go.
All right.
Yeehaw. All right, well, we've come to that point now where we say the Hail Mary worldwide. We ask everyone out there, to all the countries that I know are listening. Every time we check, they're all listening from all around the world. So we ask you all to join with me in a Hail Mary, and our voices will be in unison around the world, in unison at the same moment all over the world, saying a Hail Mary, and your voices will rise up to heaven, and we'll make heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. Hopefully this time has been helpful, interesting, inspirational. And if nothing else, light a fire on you and get you out there. Get more people listening and more people interested and more people doing something. We need to get in the battle here and speak up. You don't have to do a whole lot to speak up.
Kathy,
all right, Donald, turn it over
Hail
to
Mary,
you.
Kathy, can you do the Hail Mary in Latin for us?
Well, oh, yeah.
The Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be, you know.
I sure can. Are we ready?
Do it. Yeah.
Yes, we're ready.
Paternoster, Crias, and Chile, Sancti Patron, Omen, Tuum, Adviniat, Regnum, Tuum, Fiat, Valentas, Tua, Secret, in Cedo, Es, in Terra, Panem, Nostrum, Quotidianum, Da Nova, Surie, Es, Unite, Nova, Civite, Nostra, Secret, et Nos, Unitimus, Debitoribus, Nostris, Et, Nos, Inducas, and Petitionum, De Libera, Nos, Amalo, Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu sei Maria, et dulce benedictus fructus ventris Jesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat et in principio, et nunc et semper in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
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 I love it. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple because it wasn't the time. But Jesus said, I am. He is the great I am.
You can see. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.